Just a quick word from our affiliates before we jump into the episode. SafePoint Loan Working App is a really simple way for you to manage loan working. Utilizing WAP-free words to get you pinpoint accuracy on the location of your people when you really need it. Get yourself a discount using the link and code in the description of this episode. Let's jump into today's podcast.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
What's up, peeps? It's reflection time. We're reflecting on our conversation with Todd Conklin. This is a podcast exclusive episode. Let's jump into the intro.
The problem in safety isn't deviation, it's complexity.
Health and safety has gone mad.
Health and safety is trying to unpick having gone mad in the past.
There's no one solution or one problem. The problem is that we are looking for one solution.
Does the structure of the team allow them to flourish?
Feel safe enough to be uncomfortable.
The environment defines our behaviors.
People aren't the problem, they're the solution.
Rebranding safety, crushing the stereotype. Brought to you by Risk Fluent.
What's up, people? Welcome back to Rebranded Safety. Rebranded Safety does exactly what it says on the tin. We're here to change your perception of health and safety. We do that on the YouTube and we do that on this podcast. So, we are 1 week into our new content structure and we are 2 weeks into our partnership with Safety FM. How are you finding it? Are you liking it? Not really much change for you, is there? No? It's pretty good for me. We have found out the real audience size of this podcast, which has blown my mind. So let me put some backstory to this. For a while, we had this back and forth with our previous provider that we didn't think the analytics were correct. We thought that they were wrong. They were telling us that we were struggling to break 200 listeners on this podcast. And I was like, that don't match up. We've got like over 600 YouTube subscribers. I've got thousands of followers on my LinkedIn. The Rebranded Safety LinkedIn page alone has like 400 followers, same for Facebook, not as much for Facebook, I don't think. But either way, everything was pointing in the direction that we were growing, but the podcast data wasn't. So I was like, what's going on? We moved over to Safety FM and we finally got some honest and true analytics. And I'm pleased to say this podcast is audience size of nearly 700 people. So we're teetering between, over the last couple of weeks, 680 something to 700 people. That's unbelievable. So thank you very much, absolutely every single one of you, because I just can't believe there's that many people listening to this podcast. So thank you very much for listening, and I just appreciate you so much. So, the new content structure. What is the new content structure? The new content structure, I've just said content structure like four times. The new content structure, that's six times. Is we will have in a month, we will have an interview, then we will have a reflection interview, which is me just talking about that interview, then we will have a James episode, which is just me again talking about anything, whether it's something I read in a newspaper, heard on the news, anything, conversations I've had, LinkedIn conversations I've had, could be absolutely anything. I'm open to ideas as well. If you think, I'd love to hear what James thinks about this, drop me a message on any of our social medias. Safety Rebranded, Twitter, Rebranded Safety on Facebook. You can find Rebranded Safety on LinkedIn. Come find me on LinkedIn, James McPherson. Drop me a message. Be like, yo, did you see this on the news? I'd love to hear your thoughts. And it will go in the podcast. And then we have the last episode of the month. And this is currently just another boring episode of just me, but I want to mix it up. I want you to have your say in what our content looks like in the future. So you can go over to our LinkedIn page right now. That's Rebranded Safety on LinkedIn, and you can have your say. You can vote for what that episode looks like. So you are literally deciding what people will listen to, what 700 people will listen to every month. The control, the power. It's just unbelievable. So you can go and have your say right now. So make sure you go and do that. Go over to our LinkedIn page, Rebrand and Safety, have a vote. You can vote for a diversity panel, which is a panel of diverse people talking about something. Same as the Just Thing, the Just James episode, we'll talk about something, but there'd be a diverse mind. So a cognitive diversity panel, if you will. The other option is finding a co-host for that episode. So finding someone else that may be a bit different to me, finding someone else who's interesting. If we get voted for the final co-host, then I think I might find a few and then put it to vote for the members, for you, the listeners. See what you think. And then we have a monthly live show is another option. And then we have Keep Just James. Let me kind of communicate to you where we are with this vote. And trust me, I'm not offended. Regular diversity panel, 33% of the votes. Keep Just James, 0% of the votes. Ouch. Thank you very much, people. 50% of the votes. Find a co-host for that one show. 70% of the votes. A monthly live show. So go and have your say right now on what the future of Rebrand and Safety looks like. Okay, so because we are into a mini series, our Safety 1, Safety 2 mini series, that changes the content ever so slightly. We will go to, for now, until we get that co-host, in which we might not have this set up for mini series, but for now, we thought the mini series will go interview, reflection, interview, reflection, interview, reflection. So for the next few months, that's what you're going to have, our mini series of Safety 1 and Safety 2, and it'll be interview, reflection, interview, reflection. So, without further ado, let me just tell you who the episode is brought to you by. It's the same people. It's Safety FM, obviously, because we've partnered with them. But we are sponsored by DRM and SafePoint. DRM have an awesome online course. You can go check that out. All the links in the description below. And SafePoint have an awesome, loan working software that you can check out as well. So keep your ears out for those adverts at the end. And you can also go and get yourself some merch at www.rebrandersafety. Get yourself some safe-ass merch. So, let's get into my reflection on my conversation with the one, the only, Todd Conklin. How did you find our conversation with Todd? I quite enjoyed it. I had a few messages after Todd put it out on his podcast. So he put it out on his a hell of a long time ago, and I had a couple of messages. One particularly sits in my mind. So Todd was mean to you was like the first line. I could kind of understand where people got that from. I think when my wife overheard me when I was editing it, and she was like, God, is this guy ever going to let you talk? I didn't feel like that, if I'm honest. I felt like, yeah, he kind of corrected me a few times. We had a difference of opinion on a couple of things. He kind of like schooled me a couple of times, which is fair enough. And I kind of like the little egotistical kind of masculine to and fro we had. I quite enjoyed it. It was I don't know, kind of like being on an academic building site, so to speak. I quite enjoyed it, and I thought those messages were really funny. But thank you for caring about me, people. That means a lot. It means a lot that you thought that Todd was bullying me, and you felt like you needed to console me. I appreciate that. So I have so many notes. I enjoyed that conversation, and I enjoyed putting out pretty much the full conversation I had with Todd, because I thought it was nice to just kind of hear Todd talk about something other than capacity and safety and risk and fatalities and stickies and all that stuff. It was nice to hear him talk about podcasting and other bits and bobs. So I hope you enjoyed that as well. You got to see a bit more of the human side of Todd as opposed to the kind of the academic side of him. So, you know, if you did like it, let me know. If you didn't and you're like, look, just cut it down to him talking about safety, then okay. Maybe you should just go over to his podcast, because that's what he does. He just kind of cuts out the bits that deliver value to what he believes his audience is and digs them out. But I think for me, I wanted to show that human side of him. I wanted you to see there's more to Todd than just all that safety stuff. So I hope you enjoyed that. I will note, I think it's in the episode if I remember rightly, but you know, he didn't want us to use that stuff. He told us to get rid of it because you lot don't want to hear that stuff. So please, you know, share it and tell Todd that I was right and I know you better than I know than he knows you, because I'll be a pretty crap podcaster if I don't know my own audience. So yeah, I mean, he did a classic Todd. I think he turned it around and interviewed me quite a bit as well, which I really liked. I liked that, you know, it was more like a conversation. He asked me a couple of questions, which was really, really nice to kind of have that relaxed conversation. You could tell he was a podcaster. He was very relaxed and, you know, like I say, he kind of turned it around and asked me a few questions. Sometimes when people come on to be interviewed, so to speak, not that I really like that term, they are just sit there, wait for the questions. Whereas, you know, when I've spoken to Sam Goodman, you know, he was a great example of that. We just kind of waffled and chatted and chewed the fat for about 2 hours. So Todd was very similar. And, you know, I must have said, okay, let's end it there about 20 times. And we just kept coming up with another subject and talking for another 20 minutes. So he gave me a lot of his time, which I was really, really appreciative of. So let's have a look at my notes. Explain good and bad safety I've got on here. So Todd cut me off here and probably didn't really give me a chance to explain what I was trying to say. So he asked me, we got into the discussion around like safety one and safety two. And I kind of said that, and I think I've said it on the podcast before, but I said that I kind of look at this like good safety and bad safety. Now, what I didn't mean that one is better than the other. What I actually meant, and what I would have said if I had the chance, was that I don't think it's a problem with the fundamentals for me. I think the problem that we talk about, that Todd talks about in his kind of content, that Sydney talks about in his content, is bad implementation of a lot of this stuff. Bloody dog. Sorry, that was my dinner. And now we are here a day later re-recording it. Yes, I got a takeaway. Yes, I'm naughty. Yes, I've got a newborn baby and I'm bloody knackered and can't be asked to cook. It was such a good pizza though. Anyway, back into this conversation. Where was I? So yeah, good safety and bad safety. For me, like I was saying, it's the implementation of this stuff. So I think that here's my stance on it, right? A lot of the time when I'm hearing a lot of this stuff, when we're talking about HOP, New View, Safety 2, Safety Differently, I always have this saying, right? This safety is originally intended. Now, don't get me wrong, I think we've added some optional upgrades or some needed upgrades, so to speak. The stuff that Sydney's brought along, the stuff that Todd's brought along, and Eric have brought along are, you know, upgrades that we needed, 100%. I don't deny any of that. But a lot of the fundamentals here, I genuinely believe, is exactly what was originally intended in the Health and Safety at Work Act. It's exactly what originally intended in a lot of the HSE guidance. And don't get me wrong, I think the HSE could dramatically improve. I think a lot of work that we've done in the past would be so much better if we had this mindset of safety too, this mindset of New View. But I can wholeheartedly understand when a lot of people who are the so-called safety one or so-called traditional space get really frustrated and defensive, because what we're talking about here is safety as originally intended. Now, this is like an unbelievably sensitive space when we're talking about safety one and safety two. People are unbelievably guarded and people are unbelievably defensive and at times aggressive. And that's both sides, people. And that's the point of this mini series, is to try and quell that, to try and I'm here to communicate my learnings through this process. So I get a bit frustrated sometimes when I was on a webinar a few weeks back, and this guy was he basically had Plan, Do, Check, Act, which is like HSG 65, right, which is basic safety stuff. This is like been going around for years, and he changed it to like Plan, Do, Check, and then it was something else. Like, he basically changed the word, I know he might have changed the word check and something else that was exactly the same. It was saying exactly the same thing, and I was like, what? And I've seen presentations where people are communicating like the hierarchy of risk, but they've changed it, called it hierarchy of resilience. And it's exactly the same. So a lot of the time, I think we get hung up on the words of this stuff, as me and Todd did when we were talking about efficiency. This is exactly the same debate. But before getting to that, to close out my point on good safety and bad safety, for me, when we talk about safety one, we are not talking about the good implementation of safety, because safety as originally intended is good. Now, there are some parts of traditional safety, there are some parts of behavior-based safety that I think needed an upgrade 100%. I think that a lot of the stuff makes sense. But to be honest, I wasn't around when we were heavily into this behavior-based safety stuff. I've not been in a space where we were implementing behavior-based safety, so I genuinely have to take people's word for it. And as you'll hear from this episode, this mini-series, we talked to Dom Cooper, who is massively into that behavioural-based safety space. And a lot of the stuff he says, I really, really agree with. But I'll tell you more about that in a reflection episode with Dom Cooper. So you have to listen to the rest of the mini-series and catch up with that one. So let's move on then. So the piece about efficiency. Todd asked me, how do I define safety? And I said, I define safety in a way like... safety is efficiency, and I 100% agree with where Todd's coming from on this one, because he absolutely schooled me a few times, a kind of well-rehearsed way of shutting down efficiency. And Eric Konagel's book, as we referred to in this, which I'll link in the description below, had, you know, is called, you know, the thoroughness and efficiency trade-off, where we trade off thoroughness, which safety would sit in the thoroughness sector, and kind of quality or efficiency, sorry, would sit, or speed, you know, would sit in that efficiency sector. So safety, therefore, is in direct conflict of efficiency. But I think that if safety is in direct conflict of efficiency and all businesses are striving for efficiency, then safety is doing something wrong. I think that we need to fit into the world of business. We don't want them to mold to us. I think that's what we did. We tried to do and we failed. So when I talk about efficiency, I'm talking about safety by design in the language that businesses are talking in. Businesses want to be efficient. So for me, efficiency is a fluid thing. There are times where we can be efficient and there are times where we can't. So I'll use working at height here, because I think this is a good example, and I'm going to use working at height again later when we talk about capacity. But for me, if you think about working at height, being efficient in working at height would not be drilling in an anchor point, tying yourself to the anchor point, putting a harness on, going up just to, I don't know, hang up Christmas lights, for example. Just hang up one single Christmas light, you'll be up there like 2 minutes. So you go up, bang a nail in, boom, Christmas light done. That's not efficient, right? So you're balancing the amount of time you're up there versus the risk. So this is that likelihood conversation, which we'll come on to in a minute, right? But let's say we go to working on the roof. Let's say we're installing a big Santa on the roof, right? The whole situation has changed. So now we would probably go much more stricter on the safety side of things, right? So it becomes less efficient. Right. So that kind of argument, I get it. That if you, when you're talking about efficient, it's like getting it out the window as quick as possible, then that makes sense, that safety conflicts with efficiency. But maybe our description or our perception of efficiency is wrong then. Because for me, if you take efficiency from a holistic business point of view, it is inefficient for us to harm people. It is inefficient for us to kill people. It's inefficient for us to have incidents, accidents, events, whatever you want to call it, on the job. And the job of a safety professional is to balance, by being reasonable and practicable, is to balance safety versus the risk. That's it. So for me, it's efficient. Good safety is efficient, which brings back to my original point, good safety and bad safety. How do you define those two? How do you measure those two? It's pretty much impossible until it's too late. That's the long and short of this stuff, I think. I'm happy for people to agree with me, to disagree with me, because that's how we learn. It's good for us to disagree with each other. But for me, I think It's our job to find that line, to balance, for safety to slot into efficiency. And there are times when the risk is too high that we are not efficient. And we must do those controls to slow the job down, to be safer. That's just my thoughts. So, what else have I got on my notes? Let's have a look. Let's stick to this example. Let's talk about capacity. So Todd talks about, I asked Todd, how do we measure capacity? I think we talk about capacity all the time. You know, you must build capacity. But I'm like, okay, stop telling me what I must do and tell me how I do it. How do we actually measure capacity? How do I know I've got capacity? And Todd gave me an example of how many eggs you got in your fridge. I just had shopping delivered, so we had quite a lot of eggs. So he's like, you've got a lot of capacity. So I get what he's saying, but I'm struggling to bring that back into the workplace. But here's an example of what I maybe think that a capacity would be. Sticking with working at height, I went on a webinar that was actually delivered by Todd, and I asked him a similar question when he made a comment around risk assessments. He said, when we're talking about risk assessments, once a risk gets to something significant, we should stop talking about likelihood and start talking about capacity. So I questioned it. There was a bit to and fro in the comments box. And we ended up getting to a point where once it goes past or beyond a certain point of severity, we should stop talking about the likelihood of that happening and actually start talking about, if this happens, how bad will it be? So let's stick with working at height. A lot of the time, we don't have a lot of capacity when we're on a ladder. If I fall off on a ladder, what's going to stop me from falling? Nothing. What's going to stop me from hurting myself? Nothing. I'm still going to fall. So what's our capacity to fail there? Well, sheer damn luck. I either fall good and luckily I don't really hurt myself, or I fall bad and really hurt myself. There's no capacity there for us to fail, just damn luck. So for me, it's like having capacity working at height is going to be either, you know, you could even say what's going to make us fail. Have we got capacity in the ladder? So do we foot the ladder? Do we fix the ladder? Yes, we fix the ladder. So we've got a bit of capacity in the ladder wobbling side to side, or the ladder moving, but I could still fall off. Have we got any capacity in me falling? No. You're going to install an anchor point and fix me to the building? Yes, now we have capacity for the fall. It's like kind of building up all those layers of capacity, which is exactly the same as the layers of safety, which I think is the fundamental problem in this safety one, safety two argument debate, is what we're talking about the same bloody thing, but we're just using different words. And I think that is what we need to focus on here. Anyway, that's just my thoughts. This is what this reflection episode for. I quite enjoy it. It helps me learn. But they're my thoughts. Let me just check my notes and I'll probably bring this to an end unless I can find much more. I've got a quote here that he said, blaming the work provides a moral separation for leaders. I thought that was really interesting. Todd's quite well known for saying, you know, when we blame, we don't learn. I thought that was, I think I love that quote, if I'm honest. You know, if you think about how we talk all the time, you know, it's all about blame. You know, not so long ago, Bojo in England has been absolutely ridiculed in the media for making a mistake when talking about the coronavirus stuff. But like, he made a mistake. So are we not allowing him any room to fail? Do we expect him to be perfect? Do you hold yourself to those standards? And by blaming him for making a mistake, by blaming the government for not looking after you in coronavirus, you stop yourself from learning about how you can protect yourself from coronavirus, in theory. But let's bring this back to the workplace. If you're focused on finding who caused the problem, then you're going to stop straight away when you get to the injured person. Who hurt themselves? Me. Why did you hurt yourself? I fell off the ladder. Okay, cool. That's it. Your fault. You're never going to find out what made them fall off the ladder. You're never going to find out the context of that situation. So, you know, when you blame, you don't learn. I like that quote. Let's see what else we got. It's because of efficiency. Yeah, he shut me down on efficiency a few times. The conversation of oversimplification comes up quite a lot. We talked about it, like root causes and oversimplification. You know, we're always looking for one cause. Again, I think this just comes back to my good safety and bad safety. If you're just looking for one cause when you're doing an incident investigation or an event investigation or event, a learning team, whatever you want to call it, then you're just a bad safety professional. Like, if you're just looking for one cause and then going, oh, cool, yeah, nailed it, off we go, I'm so good, pat yourself on the back and go to your little committee meeting and have your echo chamber and tell each other how amazing you are, then you're just not very good at your job, unfortunately. So anyway, then my thoughts on that. Let me know what you think. Any other notes? Let's have a look. Good example of capacity. Yep, got that. I said I had 290 subscribers. I've literally put this in my notes. How sad is this? 290 subscribers at the time we recorded this. I'd like to, I put in my notes 290, now 500, celebrate. But actually, it's now over 600. Go me. Go you, actually. This is all you. Directors of risk is my last note. So directors of risk are interested in move towards resilience. This interesting. Personally, I think this is a good move. I'd like to see us talk to, if I was ever asked how to design a big corporate business and where do we put safety, I would say I think we should have a director of risk on the board. And what you put under that director of risk remit is a whole other conversation. But it's interesting. I'm having conversations with a director of risk right now for a very, very big company. And hopefully that person will be on the podcast in the coming months after the mini series and after a few other bits we've got going. So we'll have a much more in-depth conversation about health and safety being looked at from a much broader business risk-based holistic view. But I think it's a good move. I'd like to see more of that. Maybe like a director of risk that has a health and safety manager reporting into them, and then has a well-being manager reporting into them or something like that, so that we can have specialisms and that health and safety person get really focused on the health and safety, and the well-being person get really focused on well-being, and because they're under that risk bracket, they can work collaboratively to build a culture within the business. And maybe HR should sit under that director of risk as well. It'd be nice to see. I'm not really sure, but anyway, we'll have that conversation with the director of risk that's going to come on the podcast. This was the first reflection episode, so tell me, what do you think? Come and tell me at Safety Rebranded on Twitter, James McPherson and Rebranded Safety on LinkedIn, or Rebranded Safety on Facebook. Come and find me. Come and tell me what you thought about reflection episode. For me personally, I've really enjoyed this. It's been really good because sometimes I ended up slipping into editing the podcast and I was just kind of listening to it in the background and not really paying attention to my own podcast or trying to do too much. But because I'm doing this reflection episode and because on a YouTube channel we're starting to utilize the clips from those podcasts a lot more to give people more value, it made me really conscious in the editing process. So whilst I'm conscious in the conversation, I'm allowed to go back through it now, or I'm enabled to go back through it and take notes and learn more. So for me personally, I think this is a really good episode, but you might not like listening to me, it's up to you. Let me know what you think. Don't forget to go and vote for the future of Rebranded Safety on LinkedIn. You can vote what it looks like, what that last episode of our new content structure looks like. This is just a prime opportunity for you to shape the future of Rebrand Safety. Don't forget to go check out DRM and SafePoint and go get yourself some merch, people, please, because it's just awesome and it helps me pay the bills. I've got a little girl now, need to feed her. She's not been fed because no one's bought any merch in ages. Poor girl's losing weight. That's not true. I have actually fed my daughter. And as we've learned from this podcast, I've also ordered a pizza. So times can't be that tight, can they, James? Anyway, people, I'll catch you later in the next episode where we're talking to Kelvin Genn. See you later. Safe.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the host and its guests and do not necessarily reflect the position of the companies. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are examples only based on limited and dated open source information and should not be utilised in real life as the only solution available. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the companies. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, or otherwise, without prior written permission from James McPherson.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a shameless
sponsorship clip. In all seriousness, guys, we've partnered up with DRM Group. You know David McLean, he's been on the podcast time and time again. We absolutely support his message, and he's got a brand new online course to help you. I'm gonna let him tell you all about it now.
The brain can be trained to think and behave differently, to think in more positive and optimistic ways. And there are steps that you can take to train your brain to feel good for good. And we call this lasting positive change. Through our 16-day program, which includes daily videos and action sheets, taking you no longer than 15 minutes to complete a day, you will learn how to move away from thoughts of anger, hopelessness and frustration to a place of mental well-being and positivity.
Okay, guys, so if you're interested, you can click the link below and get a discount, special rebranding safety discount. Full disclosure, we get a little bit kickback from that. So at the same time as improving your mental health, you can support your favorite health and safety podcast and YouTube channel. I'll let you get back into the content.